How does the live export industry continue to function in one of its most difficult trading periods? And that question is certainly on the minds of industry stakeholders today as they meet for the annual live export conference in Perth, where everything from market access to animal welfare is on the agenda. And it comes at a time when the situation in Australia's number one destination for live cattle has been described as diabolical. We've heard recently on the Country Hour that feedlots in Indonesia are at risk of closing given the losses being made as a result of high cattle prices here in Australia and restrictions on the maximum price of beef that can be sold in markets over there. So how does the industry move forward from here? Well, David Galvin is the chairman of industry body, Live Corp, and is at the conference today. I spoke with him a short time ago. David, thanks for joining us. Given what we know about the current situation for live exports, what outlook is being painted there at the Live Exchange Conference in Perth?
Well, you're exactly right. It has been probably a tough 18 months, and it's all to do with high prices for cattle, which is good for the producers, but there's price resistance in markets, whether it's Indonesia, Malaysia or Vietnam. So I think what, the theme running through the conference is resilience, that we know that at the moment it is tough trading conditions. It's not only tough for exporters, but it's also tough for importers and feedlotters in the Asian countries. And so there's a flavour going through the conference that, we have to be resilient. Well, we have to see this through. Better days will come. And so that's what people are thinking. We've got a number of importers here, and that's their thoughts, and it's exporters' thoughts as well.
How far away are these better days for the live export trade?
Well, I don't think anybody knows, to be honest. People are surprised how high cattle prices have been. There's still the rebuilding of the cattle herd in Queensland and also up north after previous years of drought. So, it's hard to estimate. One would be hoping that by mid-next year, the end of prices may come down because more cattle are flowing through the system.
What's the way forward that's being talked about? Is there a clear plan as to how exporters and the industry as a whole can make it through this difficult period?
Just as I said, I think everybody has to basically screw their costs down, make savings where they can, ensure that everything that's auxiliary to the actual main business is put aside at the moment and just concentrate on getting the best result from a very hard market.
As you mentioned, losses are being made, and it's for only so long a business can withstand the sorts of losses we're seeing in for feedlotters and exporters dealing in Indonesia. So is there a risk that exporters will either shut down or move to other markets? Say they'd look to somewhere like Brazil to export cattle out of and just leave the north of Australia alone for a while.
Now, I don't think it's amazing when you see the cattle that are going out and where they're going out. So some people will be diversifying. Instead of just going to feeder and slaughter, there will be breeder operations somewhere. There'll be a dairy cattle going somewhere. So people are looking at little niche markets and where they might have just been concentrating on feeder and slaughter to Indonesia. They'll now say, for instance, there's a dairy job to Brunei, and so they'll be picking that up. Well, they wouldn't have thought about that before. Or there's a breeder job into the Philippines, and they'll go there. So the exporters are resilient, the traders, they're looking for opportunistic diversity from their current feeder and slaughter operations to keep them going through these tough times.
Should the North be worried that exporters will be forced to move away from the North to tap into some of those markets, as you say, like breeders or dairy heifers to the Middle East?
I don't think people should be worried about it. I think people should be, in one sense, grateful that the exporters are able to find these diversity of markets to keep them going through the tough times. And, you know, if, you know, prices drop from $3.30 a kilo to $3 a kilo, then the businesses would be profitable again and the producers would be making good money. So if a company can, or exporters can, make a reasonable profit through other areas and other destinations, they're able to keep going up north, and so they're able to sustain themselves until things get better. And I think that's what people are thinking here. That's what people are saying. They just need opportunities to make some profits somewhere along the whole supply chain of live export going to various places around the world. But they know that, you know, basically the bread and butter, our best cattle market is Indonesia. Vietnam is starting to tick up a little bit more. Boats are going there again. So it's just to see these hard times through to the better times.
What is it, David Galvin, that you hope to leave the conference with?
What I'm hoping to leave a conference with, after being a director and the chair of Live Corp for the past 10 years and having to step down this conference, I'm hoping to leave a conference with optimism, to instill optimism within our export sector, our importers, that these tough times are not here forever. We'll get through them. The industry will rebuild in the north. The markets in Indonesia will open. The population's growing. They need good red meat protein. We are the best and the cheapest way of getting it, and these times will end, and the good times will come back. And I think if we don't think that, we don't get through this, you know, we don't want to be negative all the time. We just have to say, let's get on with the job. This high cattle prices, the shortage of cattle in the supply chain will end, and the equilibrium will come back.
As you mentioned, you are stepping down as chairman of Live Corp. What do you hope your legacy is?
Well, I think not as my legacy, but the legacy for the industry is the implementation of SCAS around the world. Pre 2011, less than 5% of cattle in Indonesia were stunned. We're now doing 95% of cattle in Indonesia are stunned. Same with Malaysia. You look at the Middle East, where we've put in, we've trained around the world nearly 12,000 people in, you know, slaughter, animal welfare practices, all these things that have changed the dynamics and changed the outcomes for animal welfare across the world is the biggest legacy I see for the industry. If you look at the Middle East now, between 2 million and 3 million locally supplied sheep are going through OIE, SCAS slaughter arrangements put in by the Australian industry. So, you know, I think that's the great legacy that we've achieved since 2011. And if I've had anything to do with that legacy, that's great. But I'm just proud that the industry in itself has been able to come up, step up, and deliver, you know, great outcomes around the world for not only Australian animals, but local animals anywhere in the world. And the World Organisation for Animal Health, the preeminent animal welfare organisation in the world, says that you know, the Australian industry has been the single biggest contributor to the improvement of animal welfare worldwide. And for me, that's what I'm proud of. And it's not us saying it, but it's the institution that's saying that.
And no doubt that's being featured there today at the Live Exchange Conference in Perth. David, thank you so much for stepping aside to join us on the Country Hour today.
No, it's my pleasure.